Hi, good Vach and good Chodesh. It is Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. That's right. Working our way through the calendar, and we are up to Parshat Korach. Unfortunately, we're also in the middle, kind of a downward spiral. With the Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, but there is kind of a little bit of a light in this week's Parsha after the whole episode of Korach. As part of the need to, prove that Aaron was justified in, rather that Moshe was justified in selecting Aaron as the Kohen Gadol, and that it wasn't a brotherly favor, but actually divinely through the choice of Hashem, they put together, based on Hashem's command, the ceremony involving the staves of the 12 tribes, 12 Shvatim. It's interesting, that the word shevet also means staff, and I'll probably get to that. But basically, we needed one shevet, which is one staff, for each shevet, which is tribe. So all 12 tribal leaders would have a staff, as well as Aaron. And this is actually one of the only instances, not the only, but one of the only instances in which there are actually 13 tribes, in a certain sense, represented. Right? You have Yosef divided into Menashe and Ephraim, so that's how you have 12, plus you then also now have Levi, since Aaron is being represented as well. So you actually have 13 tribes, in a sense, being represented, or alternatively 12 plus 1. So Aaron's staff is Dafka specifically placed in the center of the other staff, since, as Rashi explains, one might think that the Shekhinah came from a certain specific side or angle, and to preclude this notion, Aaron's staff did not face the outside, to avoid any notion that there might be some directional favor. So therefore, the staff stood as 13, and one blossomed in front of the other 12. Now, the number 13 in Gematria is Echad, and there's a lot Kabbalistically written about that. However, the inner word Chad also means one, and that has a value of 12, but is missing the Aleph. Now, the word Chad, Chet Dalet, also means sharp. When each tribe has something to stand for and possesses a unique attribute, it is sharp. It stands out on its own merits, and the nation is one by being a unified group of different kinds of people. However, when there's discourse, people, which we certainly saw by Korach, people fail to appreciate their differences and can only again be unified if they see themselves as all part of the one, namely Hashem. Now, Aaron in this instance represented Hashem because he was selected by him and he was also the Kohen Gadol, and was able to, in a certain sense, connect the greater power of the Shekhinah to Klal Yisrael. Right? He was the one who was chosen. Now, by establishing the divine choice and the dominance of the oneness of Hashem, which symbolizes the Aleph once again joins the Chad and becomes Echad, which is a true one, or in this case, 13. Now, the number 13 is also, as many people know, equivalent to the word Ahava, right? Which means love. Now, the root of that word is Hav or Hava, which means to give, because so many things written and spoken about that. But true love is wanting to give fully to the other entity. However, in our parsha, Korach and some other members of the nations wanted to have the honor that Aaron had, especially Datan and Aviram. They wanted it to be given to them. However, when one puts Hashem first and realizes that he is the only one who truly gives, right, that Hashem is the true giver, then the Aleph comes first and it becomes Ahava, not just Hav, Hav, give me, give me. Now, this notion of oneness and giving was symbolized by the 13 staffs. Now, the word for staff, although it can be shevet, is in this particular instance used as mate, which is also often how it's used by Moshe. So it's a slightly more common word for staff. Now, mate is equal to numerically 54, which there were 13 of them, so 54 times 13 is 702, which is a number that comes up a lot. It is the value of Shabbat, Shabbos, Shin Bet Dalet. Shabbos is a time to reflect upon Hashem's oneness and everything that comes from Him. The Echad, this Echad that comes from Hashem, all comes down through the quote-unquote staff of Hashem, if you will. Right? Everything Hashem designates, everything He determines, is normally symbolized. Now, generally, when you look at the spectrum of everything Hashem provides us in this world, we see the number 7. However, when one realizes that Shabbos restores us from the previous 6 days and gives us strength for the upcoming 6, that's something which I've spoken about many times, that it's actually kind of a pivot joint or even kind of like a hump in the middle of both weeks, then it's actually 13. You have 6 days before Shabbos, Shabbos, and then 6 days after. That's a total of 13 days, or alternatively 12 plus 1, if you count that one being Shabbos, because it's a time of Achdus and Ahava. It is a day to truly recognize the role of Hashem in our lives, and in the world, much of the Jewish people had to recognize this as Aaron's staff blossomed into beautiful flowers. Now, another similar thing to talking about the sprouting of Aaron's staff. The Torah writes, "Vayatzeitz tzitz vayigmal shkedim," and it sprouted forth a sprout and yielded almonds. Now, there's a lot of things to talk about in that sentence alone, but I'm just going to talk about a couple pieces, specifically the word tzitz and the shoresh, but we'll also talk about the shkedim briefly. Now, the language used for sprouting is "Vayatzeitz tzitz." The word tzitz means not only a sprout, but anything that was outwardly prominent. Most importantly, it was the name of the plate that the Kohen Gadol wore in the Mishkan upon his forehead. No coincidence. It was known as the tzitz, right? The Torah is hinting to us by this tzitz coming out, this blossom coming out, that it's symbolizing the role of Aharon, not just as selected as an important person, but specifically as the Kohen Gadol. This tzitz displayed the divine name on it, and thus the glory of Hashem. Aharon's role was for the honor of Hashem. Right, he did not do it for his own honor. This was something Korach and his men did not understand. Maybe didn't want to understand. They wanted glory for themselves and berated Moshe for honoring his brother over them. But it's not about the honor of any man, but rather the honor of God, the honor of Hashem. As the words of Vayatzeitz Tzitz, which literally means "and it sprouted forth a blossom," are numerically equivalent to "lo kavod ishu," it is not the honor of man. Now, after these words, the Torah writes that the tzitz sprouted almonds, or yielded almonds. This lashon is vayigmol, which is an interesting lashon, as opposed to vayipareach, for example. Right? The root of vayigmol is gemila. This is used in numerous instances, including the most obviously gemilut chasadim, which means to bestow or provide acts of kindness. Now, Aaron was known specifically for his acts of shalom. He is known to have gone out of his way to make peace between others, which is in stark contrast to Korach, who went out of his way to create machloket. Hashem will always favor the former over the latter. Now, what did the sprouts yield? They yielded shkedim, almonds. Now, many, many people talk about this, and I'll just talk about it briefly. Why almonds? They're the first tree to blossom in the spring. And the word for almonds is shkedim, which could be read as shekadim, that which comes early, as Chazal states. There are numerous explanations given as to why this applies specifically to Aaron, but perhaps this also can show a contrast between Aaron and others. Rav Hirsch explains that the quickness of the almond to ripen is indicative of the zealousness of the tribe of Levi, such as how they swiftly took action by the sin of the Chet Egel, the golden calf. Yet, this zealousness is to be used to fight for Hashem and his values and not for personal gain, which is something which Yaakov had warned Levi ahead of time by the episode of Shechem, and Levi did in fact take it to heart and use this zealousness, as we also see by Pinchas, and just the parsha or two, being zealous for the sake of Hashem, right? But Korach, this wasn't the case. He was zealous for the wrong reasons, and so too his cohorts of Datan and Aviram. The word skedim is numerically equal to Datan because he was impulsive. He was the first to blossom. He was from Reuven, who was known as being, who was in a certain sense cursed for his impetuosity, or rather his impetuosity was cursed, not he himself necessarily. But Datan was impetuous just like Reuven. He wanted to be like, oh, why did we lose our firstborn? And like, he didn't want to see the whole picture. He wanted what he wanted. We see this rashness of both Datan and Aviram, and they were quick to judge Moshe. In fact, the Torah makes specific mention that they were from the tribe of Reuven, right, which, I mentioned being impetuous like water, as Yaakov states. But rather than symbolizing this rash tendency for judgment, Aaron uses the specific rashness, so to speak, or enthusiasm, to connect himself to the menorah. And part of the ornate decorations on the menorah were the intricate, like, almond-like carvings, which are called shkedim. The Torah specifically used the term shkedim, the almond-like carvings that are engraved within the menorah. The menorah was Aaron's special mitzvah. It was a daily mitzvah that brought out the light and shone in brilliance, right? Which is the opposite of what Korach did. Korach, Datan, and Aviram were ultimately swallowed up into darkness. They brought darkness in the form of machlokes into people, and they were ultimately swallowed up into darkness. So maybe May we remember to always give others the benefit of the doubt and to bring out light rather than darkness, not fight for machlokas, but fight for unity and love, and fight for the glory of Hashem and not for the glory of ourselves. Shabbat Shalom.